This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% on select styles. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24 pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere. And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
An insider's look at the National Football League.
That's a W. How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
Time for NFL lunch.
Cook you a turducken. There it is.
He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Sponsored by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse with Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio. 105.7 The Fan.
Tim Barbalace in for the Bobster. It's Vinny and Haney, Woman Crush Wednesday. And we looked at the Ravens' first week of the new league year. Not big, substantial outside additions, but they've been active and bringing in a DeAndre Hopkins and Hummel and Cooper Rush and bringing back guys like Ronnie Stanley, Tylan Wallace, Patrick Ricard, Ben Cleveland. Well, what about the rest of the division? And let's start with the Steelers, and they've lost a good amount of guys. Dan Moore, Justin Fields, James Daniels, Dante Jackson, Mike Williams, Najee Harris, Alondon Roberts, Nate Herbig, and Van Jefferson all gone. They brought in Mason Rudolph, Malik Harrison, Kenneth Gainwell, Darius Slay, Juan Thornhill, and Aaron Rodgers is still out there, Vinny.
Yep. Yeah, they need a quarterback in a worse way. That's what they're going to need. They're going to need a running back probably in the draft. And they got to hope that their offensive line, you know, gets better. They need a quarterback that can throw it to Pickens and can throw it to Metcalf.
That's the thing.
You know, I mean.
But is Rodgers, like, is there enough there, Vinny? I just think that would be
Rodgers or Russell Wilson?
It's not exactly a great selection.
I'd rather have Rodgers. I think he played all right at the end of the year, you know. So I'd go with Rodgers, but I've got to have a hell of a run game. I need a run game, and then my defense is not getting any younger.
The defense was horrible down the stretch when they were in
couldn't
that losing streak. Yeah,
the Ravens ran for 300 yards.
Yeah, and like you said, the defense getting older. The offensive line, you lost a couple of your starters there, and the O-line wasn't that great to begin with. I just see this Steelers team that is caught in the middle. Like, yes. They're competitive. They're in it. They'll make the playoffs. They haven't won a playoff game since 2016. And with how this roster, and the offseason just started, but with how this roster is shaping up, I can't tell you they're going to win a playoff game this year. I can't tell you they're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, the thing that when you look at the Steelers, kind of the only way that they have and could beat the Ravens if the Ravens beat themselves. That's the only way that they beat the Ravens, and probably the same way as the Bengals. You know, and that's why, like you're saying, that they can stay above 500. Why? Because they won't turn it over, and then other teams will beat themselves, and they'll get some wins that way.
Well, Bengals and Browns, not a ton of additions and subtractions, but both of them made some serious extensions. And starting with Cincinnati, they brought in Samaje Perine, who used to be in there, Oren Burks, TJ Slayton. They lost Akeem Davis-Gaither and Khalil Herbert, but their big moves were getting their top two wide receivers signed long-term. Jamar Chase and T. Higgins really cashed in.
Yeah, and Gesicki cashed in too. B.J. Hill, they need that in the defensive line. But yeah, they got their two receivers back, and they're happy, and they'll be healthy. I mean, Higgins missed all of training camp and all that. That's why he tweaked a hammy last year. So those guys, Higgins and Chase, they're going to be in great shape. They're going to be ready to go. And the Bengals, biggest thing with the Bengals is, they're always behind the eight ball to start the season. You know, they're always 1-4, 0-3.
Playing catch up.
Yes, always.
But Cincinnati, sort of like the Steelers, like it's great that they kept them in the fold. I don't know if that's the best roster building strategy to invest that much money in two wide receivers, but they did. And they got holes galore because that defense, really, really bad. They could use some upgrades along their offensive line as well.
No question about it. I mean, because,
and what happens with Hendrickson? That's another domino.
When you look at, is there any other teams that pay two receivers? You know, Tampa does. You know, and they've got other. They won a division 3 or 4 years in a row.
Yeah.
But their quarterback only makes $30 million. That is the big thing there. Whereas Burrow's making what, like 60.
Yeah.
So I mean, that makes things a little more difficult for them. To me, it's not a one-year defensive rebuild.
No.
It's going to take longer than that. And they got to hit on all their draft picks, which they haven't.
And you'd think that they're going to invest heavily their draft picks into that defense. So it's going to be a young group.
It is going to be a young group. And they're picking, what, like 13th or something? So they're going to get at least one good player there. But like I said, their draft picks, Tim, they've got to be good, and they've got to play, and they've got to be productive for them.
Then you get to the Browns. They brought in Joe Tryon. They lost James Hudson and Mike Ford. And Myles Garrett, after asking for a trade, he said, no, I'll take that check. I'll be the highest paid non-quarterback for a little bit because Chase obviously beat that number.
Yeah, money talks and BS walks, you
yes,
know. And
it
he
does.
Got real happy with all that money. But I don't, you know, I mean, if here's, because Cleveland needs a quarterback too.
A mess.
All right, and at two, let's just say at two, you take Abdul Carter. You got Abdul Carter and Garrett. All of a sudden now you've got a little pass rush on your team. But you don't have, you need a running back. You need a lot of, your offensive line's not good. You don't have a quarterback. You have one receiver. You know, so they've got a lot of things that they got to fix yet.
Would they take a Shedeur Sanders if he's there?
I think they want to get Kirk Cousins is what they want to do. Would they take Shedeur if they think he is the guy? I mean, you have to. But then you're saying, oh, damn. Yeah, I'd love Abdul Carter. You know, I mean, you start making visions of Abdul Carter and Garrett together. Woo.
So looking at the division right now, and still plenty of time, of course, before week one, but there's a lot of question marks for the other three teams, where the Ravens, they've been able to
tread water and add in some areas where I almost view these teams as worse off than the end of the year.
I think the gap is increased for the Ravens.
Yes.
You know, just because the Ravens have the most complete team.
Yeah.
Offense, defense, and we don't know about special teams
with
yet.
Kicker.
But you know, Pittsburgh's got holes on both sides. Cincy's got holes on both sides. Cleveland holes on both sides, and the Ravens really don't. So yeah, I see the gap widened from last year. And you know, it'd be disappointing, you know, like if they were to lose to a Pittsburgh or somebody like that. You know what my question? How many turnovers?
Yeah,
that would be
penalties
my,
as well. That bit them in the butt a few times last year for sure. At 1:30, Vinny's got his second draft profile of the day, Mikel Williams. But coming up next, Ryan Wilson covers the NFL for CBS Sports. He joins us, and we know Ryan's a Steelers fan. Where does he think Aaron Rodgers is going to go? Is Aaron Rodgers going to go to Pittsburgh? We'll get Ryan's thoughts on that next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us now, our buddy Ryan Wilson covers the NFL for CBS Sports. Ryan, I want to start with Aaron Rodgers. Where the heck does Aaron Rodgers land?
Tim, good to talk to you, man.
Yeah, good talking to you.
Up in the handsome quotient of in the booth today.
So thank you.
That's an upgrade. Yeah, that's the question for Steelers fans especially, and it certainly feels like, at least according to reports, that Aaron might be leaning towards Minnesota, and that would make sense, right, because that team is ready built to have a ton of success right away, especially on offense. They have to play, make sure the skill position players will get Darisaw back at left tackle. He suffered the injury last year, and then we know what Brian Flores has done with that defense. And if you can win 14 games with Sam Darnold, the sky feels like the limit with even the 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers. The problem, of course, is that the Giants and the Steelers need a quarterback, and the Steelers of those three teams are in the worst shape quarterback-wise, both near-term and long-term. They don't have a second-round pick. They don't pick till pick 21. The Vikings have J.J. McCarthy, who might go with their former first-round pick from a year ago, and the Giants have the third overall pick, so they could potentially take a Shedeur Sanders. So I do not know what the plan is in Pittsburgh, other than they re-sign Mason Rudolph, which you can't feel great about in terms of going into 2025 like that. So there, everyone has to wait, and this has been the case in recent years, on whatever Aaron Rodgers decides to do. The question, of course, is which Aaron Rodgers are you getting? Are you going to get the guy that limped his way through last season until probably the last five or six games? Or are you going to get closer to whatever, 70% of what Aaron Rodgers was a few years ago in Green Bay?
Hey, Ryan, is Abdul Carter the best player in the draft?
You know, I'm hesitating because Travis Hunter is the number one guy on my board, but 1A is Abdul Carter. And Abdul battled through injury at the end of the season, and I just mentioned that because Travis Hunter, at his size, you worry about the injury concern if you're going to play him more than perhaps you should, just because he's so intriguing on either side of the ball. But Abdul Carter, 1 year as an edge rusher, and he looks like he's been playing there his entire life. He was an off-ball linebacker prior to that. And he just plays the game differently. And you know this, Vinny, you go through you're sitting there watching 10 different edge rushers and you finally see someone that does everything differently. That's Abdul Carter.
No doubt. That's what I said yesterday after I had watched him.
Right. And I love the idea if you're the Browns and you don't like Shador, Shador doesn't like you, man, just take Abdul Carter and pair him with Myles Garrett because you're not double-teaming both those guys, and then that can solve a lot of your problems on offense.
Ryan, this defensive line draft class has been talked up a lot. Is this one of the better crops of defensive linemen you've seen in a few years?
Yeah, it's really deep there. And you know, Tim, it's funny because when the media and fans, they always want to focus on the quarterback, and that determines whether it's a good class or not. Quarterback class isn't great. Everywhere else, especially, you know, we talked about Abdul Carter, the edge rushers, the interior defensive line, they're going to be dudes drafted on day three that can help you right away. It starts with Mason Graham for me, who he doesn't look the part necessarily. Like, he's not going to get off the bus looking like Calais Campbell, but he is a fantastic football player, even if he has shortish arms, even if he weighs 300 or a little less than that. His teammate Kenneth Grant is a dude at 330. Walter Nolan at Ole Miss is another juiced-up interior defensive lineman. There are differing opinions of Derek Harmon out of Oregon. I like him, but I don't love him. I describe him as a slow burn, but he does exactly what you want an interior defensive lineman to do, both versus the run and the pass. And I could keep naming names, and I'll tell you quickly, I'm looking at my big board here. I have 15 players as day one.
Wow.
And middle day two picks, just guys into your defensive line you just draft, and you can feel pretty good about sticking them out there and getting some production right away.
Hey, Ryan, let me ask you about Jalen Walker out of Georgia, because I had a hard time with him, you know, because he's 6'1", his arms are shorter. I didn't think he was a great inside linebacker, what people call off ball now, inside linebacker. And then at 6'1", 240 or whatever he is, you know, against big tackles in the league, does it? You almost have to have him be a piece that fits your defense to take him. Is that right, or am I wrong?
No, that's right. And I think we did a mock draft the other day, and I had him going to Dallas because they like those type of players, like DeMarvin Overshown, the freakish athletes. But DeMarvin can't stay healthy, and then you can move him around that defense. And Micah Parsons moved from off ball to edge once he left Penn State and got to the NFL. But I like the versatility that Jalen Walker provides. And that's the question, where do you play him at 6'1", 243? That's not how you build an edge rusher in the lab. But every time you watch Georgia, he is always around the ball, and he's usually hitting someone pretty hard.
They got him blitzing a lot on the inside, you know?
Yeah, exactly. They'll have him sort of standing up in the A-gap and creating mismatches there. Another guy, I don't know if you've seen him yet, and he's still 20. I don't think he's turned 21 yet. But Jahad Campbell at Alabama.
I love him. I love him. Because I think he can be an elite rusher when he learns it, because he's got takeoff. He ran 4.52. I love that guy because he is an inside linebacker. He can play inside.
And I have him graded ahead of Jalen Walker. I have them both going in the first round. But Jahad Campbell, just because he's younger, he's going to get stronger. And then the athleticism, you're not coaching that anyway. And you watch him play with his hair on fire, and you're like, oh, boy, the things you could do with that kid as well. I like them both a lot. And we talked to Jalen at the combine, and he's a great young man. But I think, to your point, I lean a little bit more to Jahad Campbell, who, as you know, is primarily an off-ball type player.
We're speaking to Ryan Wilson, covers the NFL for CBS Sports. It's Vinny and Haney on The Fan. Ryan, who do you have mocked to the Ravens in your latest mock draft?
Let's see what we got here, Tim. The Ravens, we had them taking Walter Nolan, interior defensive lineman. I don't know how much of a need you think that is, but the juice with which that man plays in terms of getting off the snap, you talk about what they have there with who's the guy from Texas A&M that's so good?
Nnamdi Madubuike.
Yeah, they have Nnamdi. They have the kid out of UConn who I like a lot.
Travis Jones.
Thank you for giving me the names. When I'm in the 2025 class, I forget everyone's name who's drafted prior. But Walter Nolan fits that sort of mold. And the idea of three of those guys like that along the defensive line, I don't know what the solution would be if you had to face the Ravens into your defensive lineman.
Hey, Ryan, when I saw the Shamar Stewart, when I saw his combine numbers and stuff, I said, man, I can't wait to watch this guy on film.
Yeah.
Then I'm watching him on film, and I'm like, what am I liking here? You know, he doesn't make a lot of plays. I was very disappointed in the film.
Yep, no, and you're not alone, Vinny, and you talk to teams and they say the same thing, and you're banking on the physical tools, and we talked to him at the combine. He didn't say this, but I sort of said it for him, because Nick Sport and his teammate, who was an edge rusher as well, transferred from Purdue, and his production was down as well. And you wonder if it's just a matter of getting in the right scheme and being asked to do the things that you do well. He reminds me a little bit of Darius Robinson coming out of Missouri last year, the first-round pick for the Cardinals, because of that size. He's a better athlete, but to your point, it didn't translate week in and week out. But when you see the numbers, and he was mad, by the way, that he ran a 4.59. He thought he was going to run in the 4.4s, and that's great for the combine, but you have to translate that to on the field. I think he's going to be a better pro than he was at college, but you have to ask those questions, because when you're the best athlete on the field and the production doesn't show up on the stat sheet, you got to start asking questions why.
Ryan, last thing for you, owners meeting for the NFL later on this month, but a lot of the rule proposals have come out. I saw the Lions, they want to completely redo how the seeding works after the number one seed. It wouldn't just be by division. I saw the Steelers wanted to do away with the first downs from illegal contact, defensive holding penalties. Of course, the tush push has been a big talking point. What did you think of some of the rule proposals?
I'm laughing, Tim, because I hope the Steelers propose a rule where they do it with the quarterback position, because that's going to be their only hope going forward. I do like the idea of what was the first one you mentioned there?
The basically reseeding. They would give.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like the idea, because a lot of times, it doesn't happen all the time, but there's an occasion where a team wins the division where they've won 9 games, or in the past, the Rams way back in the day won 7 games, I think, in one of the division. And I think it's, you can call it unfair if you want. That's how the rules are written. But for a team to be a 12 or 13 win team and have to go on the road in round 2 and play a lesser team, that doesn't seem to make a lot of sense for me. And that feels like a pretty easy fix. I would also like a rule, and I don't know if one was proposed, where we just let the robots figure out where the ball is in terms of on the field, instead of some random old timer who works weekends as a referee trying to tell us what is and what isn't the first down. But it feels like, and Benny would know better than me, a lot of times these rules are proposed and rarely do the common sense ones make their way through.
He's Ryan Wilson, covers the NFL for CBS Sports, joins us every Wednesday. Ryan, thank you as always. Good
talking
to you.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you, guys.
You got it. Coming up next, Vinny's next NFL draft profile, Mykael Williams out of Georgia, the edge rusher. What does Vinny think of him? He'll tell you next on The Fan.
Vinny Serrato's Draft Profiles. News, notes, and analysis on the 2025 NFL Draft Class. Vinny and Haney. Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
Blue is the back. Dogs crowding the line. Don't bring pressure. Ewers has time. Ball knocked out of his hand. It's recovered by Cameron Wilson, and it's a takeaway. Mykael Williams knocked the ball out of Ewers' hands again. They get to the quarterback.
That highlight courtesy of ESPN. Vinny breaking down a pair of pass rushers today. He broke down Mike Green out of Marshall, who had 17 sacks last year. But right now, Mykael Williams out of Georgia.
All right, Mykael Williams, Georgia, 6'5", 260, ran 4.74. Junior, jersey number 13, 34 3/8 arms. Love it. Great arm length. 10 1/4 hand. He's got big old hands. He was a 5-star recruit out of high school in 2022. Freshman All-American. Played in 15 games with 2 starts. Had 28 tackles. 6.5 tackles for loss. 4.5 sacks. 23. Second team All-SEC. 10 starts. 18 tackles. 6.5 tackles for loss, 2 PBUs, 1 forced fumble. And then this past season, second team All-SEC, played in 12 games with 6 starts. He had an ankle early in the season injury. 21 tackles, 8.5 tackles for loss, 5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles. Strengths, he's got good size, excellent arm length, good effort, good job setting the edge. He can punch, lock out, shed in the run game. He's strong. He's got good hands to shed with. Good job, shed. Find a football. Power and a lower to bull rush. Keeps working and pass. Has quick first step. Shows a burst. Good on stunts and twists. Has a rip move. Good base and balance. He's nasty. Violent. Good takeoff at times. Excellent punch at the point of attack. Can play with his hand on the ground or up. Very good fundamentally in the run game. Weaknesses. He's laid off the snap some, which is kind of crazy. He gets in this like funny looking stance and it's like, come on, let's go, you know. And then at other times, like, you know, he's got great burst off the ball. And then his speed, 4.74. You know, that's not elite pass rush type speed. Needs to learn more pass rush moves. Hasn't shown consistent ability to win with speed. Needs more reps. Not a lot of starts. You know, I mean, when you look at it, he has 10, 16, 18 starts in 3 years.
How difficult is that to project as a GM? Where the guy that immediately comes to my mind was Ajabo, who really he had that final year at Michigan. He was set to be a top 15 pick. He had the injury, of course, at the pro day. But how difficult is that to project potential when they don't have that resume?
Well, he had 1 year hell of a resume, yeah. Ajabo did. You know, he had like 15, 16 sacks.
Oh, yeah.
And he showed everything you wanted to see. And he looked like more of a natural rusher than Hutchinson did.
Oh, yeah.
Than Hutchinson did. So he was fun to watch, you know, because he was so disruptive. All right, in summary, Michael, this kid has a lot of talent and violence in his game. He does excellent job versus the run and good punch lockout and shed. He can set the edge. He'll need development in pass rush moves. Has powerful bull rush. Has not played a lot of snaps. He's going to take some time. But I like him. For the Ravens, Chuck Smith, he's going to need to develop. He doesn't have elite speed, but plays the run well. Right now, and I told you off air, he's kind of like Clowney, what we thought. You know, play the run really good. And then, because Clowney had good pass rush. He doesn't have pass rush moves right now. So he's got, can he learn that? Can he do that? You know, so he's not a finished project yet. He almost fits more of a team that wants a defensive end. You know, like a run player. You know, and then we'll develop him in the pass. You know, where some guys like Mike Green, we want him rushing the passer, and then we got to get him stronger and stuff in the run game. Where this kid can set the edge, this kid can play the run well, but he needs work. He's not going to help you a ton in the pass right now.
So if he was there at the Ravens pick in the first round, you wouldn't think about taking him?
I'm not in love with the pick. You know, unless they you know, go to the workout and stuff and feel like they can, you know, like they can really develop into a pass rusher and stuff. But if he turned out exactly like a younger Clowney, that would be great. You know, but Clowney was first pick in the draft.
First overall.
You know, but he had more explosive. He has not played a lot. He doesn't have a ton of production. You know what's going to help the Ravens on all this stuff is with all these Georgia kids. Monken was there for those guys. So, I mean, he's going to be able to give them some background and, you know, type of kid and work ethic and all those things. I like him in the run game a lot, Tim. But, like, if I'm drafting him to be a pass rusher, I would rather have Campbell out of Alabama, who we'll talk about tomorrow.
Looking at the edge position for the Ravens in general, and you brought this up where a lot of uncertainty after this year, where Van Noy, free agent, Owe, free agent, Ajabo, who knows, he's going to have to earn his way on the roster, but if he does, he's a free agent. There's not a lot of long-term certainty there, but I guess with those names, and Owe I've been thinking a lot about, where he's probably happy with all these pass rusher contracts. Not comparing him to those guys, but the numbers go up, and he's got the double-digit sack season in 2024. If you're Eric DaCosta, how do you approach things with Owe? Are you looking to extend him? Are you waiting it out?
Well, just because I only got 1 year.
Yeah.
You know, so this year's going to be big for Owe because – is he going to be, because he was averaging 5 sacks a game.
Yep.
So is he the 5 sack guy or is he the double digit sack guy? Which guy is he? And with Matabike, they paid him.
Yeah.
Because they felt like
ascending player.
With Owe, they're not paying him. Because to me, they want to see too. What for sure are we getting? Are we getting the double-digit guy, or are we getting the five-sack guy? Was that, just kind of a fabrication for a year? Or is that who he really is? You know, and it's going to cost me a little bit more money if it is, but I'm willing to do that so I don't go ahead and pay him burned. And then, yeah.
And get burned. And to the Ajabo of it all, where you're mentioning him as a college player, and we know that he had that injury at the pro day, and he had another knee injury here as a pro. Do you see him not working out because of those injuries, or just things haven't translated at the next level? What have you seen from him?
Just because of the injury. And I'm going to, we took a kid who wasn't born in the United States when I was in San Fran, Israel Ifeani. I can't even remember who it was, but it wasn't from the States. And we took him in the second round, pass rusher. He was real good at SC. And kind of reminds me a little bit of Ajabo, where, you know, he had a real good year. And the thing that I didn't realize about that kid and, where he grew up from and everything, his goal was, I want to make it to the NFL. Wasn't like, I want to be great in the NFL.
Yeah.
So he made it.
Not a driven guy.
And did nothing.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like a butt. It was like, I got ripped, for that. Because, that was, and typical media, what they do is, because we had traded our first round pick the year before, so their first pick of the draft is a bust.
Yeah.
You know, not like he's the last pick of the second round.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But, so maybe is that with Ajabo? Does he want to be the best? I don't know. You know, they would know that or have learned that. But I think the injuries have affected him. And he doesn't have that burst. He doesn't have the bend that he had. Maybe the ankle flexion is not as good or something, but he can't bend the corner like he did, and he's not natural. And he's, to me, when I watch him now, he's painting by the number. Reach, grab, this. That.
And that's what's so shocking, because you just said it, where you thought that maybe he had better skills than Aiden Hutchinson at Michigan.
Oh, he just looks so natural and so smooth. And now it's just like he's thinking too much, Tim. I don't know. Maybe he lost total confidence, but he when he got the, when they got that holding, Buffalo, I think, when they got, Dawson got the holding penalty, that was a joke. I wanted a whole holding penalty.
Yeah.
You know? He fell down, mm-hmm. Ajabo did. So, I have not seen him have a good rush in a long, long time. You know, so he needs to, when we go out there to mini camp and training camp, we need to see, that's a different dude out there. That is totally different. And if it looks like, it looks the same, he ain't making the team.
Well, let's call it what it is. This is a pivotal year for him. Not just in terms of his standing with the Ravens, but his NFL career.
Yep.
If he does not take the next step, I mean, he could be a journeyman guy at that point.
Journeyman guy. He may be out of the league.
Yeah.
Because here's what you would do. You know, you'd watch the film. If you're the pro department and you watch Ajabo, and you're not going to like what you see. But then if you had a real high grade on him coming out, you'd bring him in for a workout just to check him out and see if he showed anything. You know, and if not, so be it. It's just disappointing. Let me just say that. It'd be extremely disappointing if he fails.
We got one more break to go. But before we turn it over to Inside Access, we're going to take one more trip through the Funhouse, 410-583-1057. If you want to get one of your texts in, now's your chance. We're all fired up, of course, for Maryland. A couple of days from now, Friday against Grand Canyon, 4:35 tip.
Yeah, and we get to talk to Damon tomorrow, which would be kind of cool.
I'm looking forward to what he has to say about the Kevin Willard situation.
Yeah, and I'm anxious to see how, this is Queen's first time ever playing in the tournament. You know, he's a freshman. How's he going to respond? I'm guessing the way he played in the Big Ten tournament,
He's going off.
Coming off a career high 31 points against Michigan. Hit those two clutch free throws to give the Terps the lead until they didn't have it with less than a second to go.
I can't believe that, you know, basically it's like stand and watch.
That was pretty much how it looked. If you're going to do a full court press,
you and Norm might as well have been out there playing defense. That's how it looked.
And if you're doing a full court press, you better stop the basketball and not let the basketball go to the rack for an easy layup.
It's like a DB, you know?
Yeah.
Keep it inside and in front of you.
Before we step out, let's take a trip through the funhouse.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
First text here says the Orioles have crushed the confidence of Kobe Mayo and other prospects over the years. They have no choice but to trade him at this point. It seems like Elias is scared to have all these players produced with other teams, but if it gets you a good piece in return, who cares? That's how baseball teams are built.
Well, I don't know if Kobe Mayo's crushed at this point. Clearly, he's frustrated by saying what he's saying, but to the texter's point, maybe some reluctance to trade some of these top guys. We haven't seen Mike Elias trade a top tier guy. Joey Ortiz and D.O. Hall are the two that come to mind to get Corbin Burns, which makes a lot of sense. But, you know, you don't want something like, and Mayo is a much better prospect than Connor Norby ever was, but you just wonder if they traded Norby at his top value after being in the minors that long, and you got Trevor Rogers, who he's hurt right now.
And the other thing, too, Tim, is we're going to see, because Elias is, you know, he didn't do much at the trade deadline last year, you know, impactful type. You know, he's going to have to, especially if they're right, you got to go big.
And what's important to note, Vinny, after these past couple trade deadlines, because they've made moves, that the farm system's not as strong as it once was. And I don't think you're willing. Sam Bisaccia is probably an untouchable for Mike Elias at this point.
Right, and like you said, Mayo's lost a little juice, you know, I'm sure, all the other teams.
Well, this one here from Chris says it's only logical for the Orioles to have Kobe Mayo as the centerpiece of a trade. Even if you're looking at first base as a possibility down the road, moving on from Mountcastle, either Adley or Bisaccia will be playing there, so that's already taken care of.
Yeah, and it's a fair point. Rohearn, he's a free agent after this year. What do you do with him? Mountcastle's been talked about in trade for a while. He's only got one more year of control. So first base is going to open up, but you got to think about Bisaccia. You got to think about him.
This one here on the Ravens. Texter says, I trust the Ravens' eye for defensive line talent in the later rounds. If I'm them, I'm targeting higher priority positions with the first round pick, mainly the secondary or pass rush.
I think what you got to do is you know, where's the depth? How many players are there? Where's the depth? And you just follow your board. You know, I mean, that's the best way. There's a reason why you watch all those hours of films and rank these players and everything. And if you go, you know, if you're in the second round and say, all right, we're going to take a pass rusher, but we have a fourth round grade on them, you know, then we're idiotic.
And one last text for the day. This one says, the NFL rule change proposals, most of them make a lot of sense, except for the tush-push stuff. The constant bickering over it is hilarious. Every team is allowed to run it, not just the Eagles, but for some reason, no one can do it like them. That's a fair advantage. It's up to the rest of the league to adjust.
I'm very indifferent on the tush-push. And I think I said this, and then Harbs, I was happy he said it, the scouting combine, the same thing. If you get rid of the tush push, then you got to get rid of offensive linemen pushing guys downfield. It's the similar thing. You got to do a clean slate. And the NFC Championship, where they said that they were going to award that was a bad look. That was the one point where I was like, oh, man, that just kind of, but I don't know, Vinny, where are you on the tush push?
I mean, the Ravens use it with Andrews.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so everybody kind of uses a little bit of it.
I'd be surprised they get rid of it personally.
The only way they'll get rid of it, Tim, if guys start getting hurt. And that's the only way. And, you know, and if quarterbacks get hurt, well, then it'll be gone.
Yeah. That is it for us. It was fun sitting in with you guys. Yeah, it flew by.
See you tomorrow.
Possibly either me or Cordell. We'll find out together, I imagine. But Inside Access is definitely coming your way next.